you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There will be a game five. What a night last night
Hell
in
yeah,
Detroit.
There will be.
What a night. I can't get over, Tone, I can't get over David Fry.
Yeah?
Can't get over it. Pinch hitting. You know he can't throw because of that elbow.
Allegedly.
You know he can't throw because of the elbow.
Allegedly? What's the allegedly?
Well, you know, they don't really ever come out and specify anything over there. But David Fry, you know he can't catch because of the elbow. He's on the roster. He's going to contribute somehow because he's got a stick. Goes up there, hits a go-ahead home run. That was the first, what did Meisel say?
The first go-ahead pinch hit home run.
First go-ahead pinch hit home run in Cleveland postseason history. That's a lot of years. That's over 100 years of baseball, folks.
That's hard to believe considering how we've been in the postseason a bunch. It's not like we've had huge gaps. I mean, my lifetime, we've been in the playoffs. We've been spoiled.
Oh, but we're downright spoiled.
Yeah.
Too many playoffs?
Not enough playoffs.
Goes in, hits the pinch hit home run, and then you can't say that term anymore. The squeeze bunt.
Safety squeeze.
The safety squeeze now, yes. To lay down the safety squeeze. I mean, perfect bunt. I mean, we tried to get Andrés Giménez to do it before, and that ended up being a fly ball to left. That was incredible. This is one of the better performances in a couple of plate appearances I've seen watching baseball for 38 years, and that was incredible.
Well, especially because
our
fan base was
Turner
down in the dumps. They thought it was over. Our fan base couldn't get over. I mean, the amount of ridicule that our manager was getting, and it all popped up again when the Tigers had gotten out in front. Everybody was going back to the same arguments that we have heard over the last few days about how Vogt cost this team, was getting outmanaged. AJ Hinch was two steps ahead throughout. And things changed in a hurry, as they can do in baseball.
To see what happened, because it was a back and forth baseball game. When they went up 2-1, thanks to the Jose home run, which, by the way, thank God, because I got into a mode of once they had gave it up again, I'm sitting there thinking, well, at least he helped himself with the postseason when they were down, or when it was a 2-2 game. I was thinking, man, at least he helped himself a little bit. All right, then it was 3-2. I was a little bit like, all right, at least they can help himself out a little bit. And he helped out his postseason. Then when David Fry comes up, like, we got to just win this thing. And then to have the squeeze play work, the heart pounding through your chest, elimination moment. I think all the momentum going into that game, it felt like it was. You don't believe in momentum, do you? I mean, what's your whole thing? Because I think it switches from sport to sport, maybe.
Yeah,
with
baseball's
you.
Tough because it's a completely different game depending on who the pitcher is. And now they get the great pitcher in game five, which is what we were petrified about earlier in the series. We were like, we got to do everything we can not to get this to a game five. But when you're losing and you have a chance to be eliminated, hey, game five's looking a lot better today than at the start of the series.
Yeah, it's
so that's why the momentum thing is tough, because you did see Jose Ramirez come out of it. Stephen Kwan has been on fire. I mean, he's batting 500 in the series.
Man, he's been fantastic.
Your star showed up yesterday too. I said it's funny how the manager looks a little better when Jose Ramirez, David Fry was an all-star. A lot of people forget. Was an all-star at the beginning of the year. So, and Class A comes in and dominates. What happens? Your manager looks a lot better.
Yeah, he's also
Isn't that funny how that works?
Yeah, and I want to get the vote coming up here in a second. But boy, give credit to Brian Rocchio. For the, like, we, I remember when he did that interview, or it was Vogt who did the interview and said he wanted to be like, he wanted to be like Jose, and people were like, why? He wants to, like, once you just focus on staying on the roster there, bub. Like, he's been a nice piece in this series.
He's had better at bats than I think almost anybody outside of Kwan. You know, you've seen him up there, and he's seen the ball very well. He's making pitchers work, and he seems to be getting the most out of his playoff appearances, much more than I think a lot of us probably ever would have dreamed of.
Because I don't know if you felt this way. Like, when I saw Hedges come up to start off the ninth, I was like, all right, like, at least we can get to Rocchio. I had confidence in Rocchio in the two spot in the ninth inning. I was like, all right, we can get to Rocchio, then we get to Kwan. I bet we can get a couple guys on, and sure as hell, I think a lot of fans were feeling that way. It's like, okay, we can get this kid out of here, and they got that kid out of there. They brought in Vest, which, boy, it seems every pitcher they bring in, Brian Anderson does the play-by-play, right, on Turner?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, he's just been remarkable down the stretch. I go, do they have any not-so-great pitchers at all in Detroit?
Well, a lot of guys, remember Matt Derry was like, most of these guys were in AAA.
Well, that's
most of the year. And only in baseball could a story like that happen.
They have a kid that didn't come to the major leagues until September 25th. And he's pitching in the playoffs.
Did you feel the same way I did when Tim Herron came out? Like, I was like, I don't know how long this is going to last. I might have rather gone with Hunter Gaddis. And then he gave up the hits.
Well, I wanted to see Klaas. I wanted a repeat of, you know, even earlier than what we had seen in game two. I wanted Klaas A earlier. That's what I was nervous about.
You wanted
him
to start the eighth?
I wanted him. I was thinking to myself, five or six guys. I think five or six outs is what we might need to win this game. And it ends up working out, even though obviously Detroit, you know, they'd figured out a way to get one across. It made things very, very anxious.
Oh yeah.
At one point, you're like, thank God for the insurance run.
Yeah, they're a formidable opponent. But I gotta say, like, when Brian Anderson says that, it's like, well, they were what, 32-13 to finish the season. Like, yeah, probably most of the pitchers they had are going to be pretty good down the stretch. But I like going into the series, like, okay, like the bullpen, you got a better bullpen. Yeah, their starting pitcher, they got Scooble. You have Bybee, so you have to give it to Scooble. Your closer's better, and then just every single time, like, they're waving them orange towels, and then you got Brian, he's been tremendous. Like, they're all Duke Simpson from Major League. It's like, come on, for the love of God, can we get anybody that we could just knock around? And then there are guys you do hit around, and you just weren't able to bring in runs. That was the other day. I'm not trying to be Mr. Baseball or anything like that, because I think you probably agreed here, is that you go 20 innings without scoring a run. The dam was about to burst at some point. It's a professional lineup. I think A.J. Hinch and everybody else could have seen that. That they were going to be able to do that. But to have that play in the top of the ninth, to lay down that squeeze, it was a remarkable decision. It was a gutsy decision.
Now, is that only because it worked? What are we saying today if that play doesn't work and they end up losing the game? They had Jose Ramirez. That's the thing. Jose Ramirez was coming up.
You know,
people would have crucified the manager, if that squeeze play doesn't work.
I know, but sometimes
it's just funny how we really just do play the results in baseball. If it works, it's awesome. If it doesn't, the manager's an idiot.
That's true. But I do think you have to, sometimes you just have to make that decision and go with it and understand that these things can come out hurting you. And maybe there's a little bit of luck involved. But I mean, David Fry, I didn't know David Fry could lay down such a damn bunt. I had no idea he could lay down such a bunt. And boy, did he lay one down, and it was able to bring in Rocchio, and it did provide the insurance that you needed, because they put up one in the bottom of the ninth, but they ended up getting the win.
Well, you asked me, is Fry going to be like an all-time hero? I'm like, get back to me after game five, because they got to win game five. If they find a way to pull this off at home, yes, we are talking about the stuff legends are made of if this team moves on to the ALCS to take on the Yankees.
216-474-0092. I'm already getting. I'm nervous from yesterday. I'm not getting nervous about tomorrow. I'm nervous from yesterday, just thinking about that moment you just talked about. Because I go, man, that does seem to be. We are so risk adverse. We are so scared of all these things. That is a gutsy decision. Here is David Fry on that squeeze.
Vogt kind of came up to me and was like, hey, how confident are you in getting a bunt down? And I told him I wasn't a very good hitter in high school, so I'm pretty confident I had to bunt a lot. And he goes, all right, right before I went up, and he said, go ahead and do it first pitch. Luckily, I got the run in.
I mean, that's the only time you're going to be able to do that. Because it's out, if I'm not mistaken, is that...
So imagine, here, imagine that he would have never...
That's out of a pitching change for crying out loud. I mean, that's a huge decision to make right out of the change.
This is what I mean. Like, we wouldn't have gotten the same story had it not have worked. Because, obviously, he's having fun with it. And, you know, that whole back and forth, like, yeah, Vogt asked me if I could do it. Like, right before that moment in the game. And, like, could you imagine if he told that story after... He gets gunned down at home. Yeah, he wanted to know if I could do a bunt. And I guess I can't. I guess moral of the story is I cannot, and it ruined the game, and we lost, and we're eliminated.
If they don't win that game, it does sound like he comes up in a panic.
Yes.
Do you know how to bunt?
Does anybody know how to bunt? Can anybody put one down?
David Fry continued a little bit later on when he got back to the dugout about his feelings. We'll get to that here in a second. 0-3, by the way. He spoke about that a little bit and what he felt going back to the dugout. Hit it.
You dream about it as a kid and think about it all the time and in the off season and when you're working on stuff, and then it happens and it goes by real quick. I remember looking at the dugout and high-fiving Sandy and then just black out, and then you're in the dugout cheering with the boys. It was a lot of fun.
Moments slowed down for you. Like, I was in my office, my son's sitting to my right because they don't have school today. So he's sitting there to my right. It was, everybody's yelling for him. Like, everything slows down in your head because you're hoping that Rocchio can make it. And Rocchio, with the other hand, is able to slide through. And I'm like, man, I can't believe he made it. I can't believe this has worked out. This is incredible to me, is how that was able to go down. And to have that type of, I mean, that is a risky decision. You are right. There's no other way around it. Like, you play the results in baseball maybe more than anything else. It's like, man, if that doesn't work and it's a 4-4 game and Manuel Clase, like, that's a double down the line. Mm-hmm. You end up giving up that run. Like, all of a sudden, it's different. That's a different feeling.
It's why that is arguably the safety squeeze, is what they're calling it now, is arguably the best situation.
It's called risky squeeze.
The best play in all sports, right? Having that happen in a game like that, in an elimination game, needing a run to scrape together. Now, was it... By any means necessary, right? And to see the emotion of those guys erupt when that comes through, you just feel like you stole one. Like, you saw the Detroit fans were so deflated when that run came across.
216-474-0092. Does it feel like the momentum is on our side? Does it feel like that, or is this like, okay, we got this win, it's 2-2, they still have Tarek Skubal?
Yeah, I mean, that's
I'll be respectful to people.
That's the whole thing. You're an underdog in game five, although pretty close in the betting odds. I was asking some buddies, would you have signed up for this? If I would have told you it's game five, you're at home, but you're going up against the best pitcher in baseball this year.
I think you take it, right? Because at least you're at home. Here's how, if they were up 2-1 and we're coming back to game five, oh, great. Best pitcher in baseball. Now that they have come back, they were down 1-2, and
had
they've come
back. Had their breakthrough moment, yeah.
I'm going, here's how I've defined it to myself, and I've decided I'm going to the game. I'm going, well, we've seen them once already, and it's been in the last couple of days. They already have the book on him now. We're going to be able to get things across the plate against him, which, who knows, for real. But you have seen him in the last week.
Yeah, and you also, at the same time, I know, what, you only got 3 hits the other day against him.
Yeah.
Last week, earlier this week against him.
On Monday.
I think that you learn how to play that a little bit different because you did leave guys on. I mean, you grounded into double plays at that time. You know, do you lay down another bunt to try to manufacture a run? Because anybody who gets on against a guy, you're going to have to try to move him station to station.
I was critical of not sending Rocchio home on the Kwan hit. Rocchio's at second, and Kwan hits it to left field. Shallow-ish, mid-left field.
In this game,
are we sending him in this game?
Well, because I wasn't critical. I thought he would have been gunned. I really thought he'd have been gunned, which the answer to it is like, well, put the pressure on the outfielder.
Push the
pace,
man.
I go, well, they're professional outfielders out there. Like, I thought he would have been thrown out. In this game, maybe it's different.
He probably should have been thrown out at the plate on the bunt, too. And he wasn't.
216-474-0092. Hold on there. I'm going to get to you guys. I think it's a hell of a question to ask. I mean, I thought Riley Green would have tossed him out, but at the same time, not now. In this moment, if I were to have this moment here on Saturday night,
same guy running that just did it in game 4 on the safety squeeze.
Yeah. And plus, it's at home. So, like, if he throws you out, there's not going to be this big, crazy moment to affect your team. So, I would be more apt in this case to try it. I'll grant you that. If we find ourselves in that situation, yeah, I think I agree with you. Now,
a 5-run lead and not worry about it.
Yeah, oh, that's be a hell of a thing.
Now, the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
Well, if you missed last night, what in the world are you doing? Maybe you were watching WNBA playoff games, which is the first story on ESPN.com.
Well, you know why.
I know this show.
Because it's not playoff games. It's the finals.
It is the finals,
you know,
yes.
You guys were the champions of the WNBA.
That's right.
Here you are.
Tom Hamilton was right when he said it, though. I'm sorry. When he goes, they'll have the wild card round, and then ESPN forgets about baseball. And sure as hell,
right.
I thought of that. I get it on there. I go, oh, yeah, that's right. You guys air the WNBA
it's
finals.
It's like what they did to hockey. It's exactly what they did with hockey.
Yep.
They went from having a full-blown show with reporters and all sorts of anchors to Barry Melrose at the site of whatever the big hockey game was.
Let's go. You can go even further. Let me ask you this. If the NFL said, you know what? No, Prime has outbid you. No more NFL on ESPN. Would ESPN, would they try to even think about putting the NFL on the back burner?
I don't see how they could.
Because it's like Major League Baseball. All right, Major League Baseball. The NBA, certain times the NBA is not as popular as it could be, even though the NBA is very popular right now. But the NFL, they just fall bass-ackwards into money. Could they actually try to put them on the back burner?
Yeah.
The answer is no,
yeah,
but
good
still.
Good luck. Well, you know what they're... The only thing that a lot of these national people will care about going forward is to get the Mets and the Yankees. Right, even though that's remarkably regional, but because New Yorkers live all over the
country. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Country, that's just what they're going to want.
I saw a post from the great Pitbull where they were talking about the underdog of underdogs, and he was mentioning Jose Iglesias, but at the same time, I think, well, he plays for the Mets. Can a team with the highest payroll in baseball ever be considered an underdog? They have $317 million dollar payroll. Can they ever be considered an underdog? The Mets. We're at 5 games into the season. Was it Gerrit Cohen who was like, this is where it's at now. This is as bad as it gets. There was nobody there.
It's incredible.
And yeah, they're in the NLCS.
And they're making it a Cinderella story. And now Frankie Lindor is getting the buzz. But we focus on the Guardians, who come from behind in remarkable fashion. 5-4. How down and out were you, Kenny, when we were staring at that situation, losing, going into the seventh? How are you feeling about things? Did you think it would take a miracle? Were you like, no, we got this. We even though they got a good bullpen, we'll get some runs across the plate.
I did not feel great. What? Until because I was like, well, yeah, I didn't feel good until basically the final pitch, because I was behind on what it was. I thought, like, I was looking at social media. I thought it was done. I thought that it was, I knew it was done before it was done. So, like, my son's watching, and I'm watching on the screen.
I knew the score had happened before it had happened.
Yes. So I was a little bit worried about giving it away for him, I guess I would say. There you go. How you like that?
I'll tell you what was also remarkable yesterday is we're sitting here. There started to be arguments about Bibee and whether they should have made a move earlier. And it's like, guy gives up four hits, two earned in four innings. And we're so used to in this series, the bullpen games and having to go to the relievers, having to go to the pen, that's even a debate. I mean, he's a starter. He is your best starter this season. They gave up two earned. How many pitches? 64? Mm-hmm. like it's incredible
the
how
the
playoffs.
One guy that's gotten into 100 for our staff and 64.
Yeah, and he was in that situation early where the bases were loaded, and he gets out of that jam. A big part of it
gave
was
up
Detroit,
a run, but yeah, it was loaded with no outs.
Yeah, it was loaded with no outs. The sac fly got one run in, but Torkelson was just caught sleeping at the wheel, and it sabotaged the rest of the inning for Detroit. And you're like, man, thank God we were able to get out of that. And then it was just a great baseball game from there on out, going back and forth. I got to say, man, people were so down and out on social media, which is exactly what that app is for a lot of people to just vent their emotions. I still felt that we had an opportunity. Like, I didn't think it was over.
It felt different than Game 3 because you'd seen runs across the plate already.
Yes. You know what? That's exactly right. Yeah, you had your breakthrough moment.
Yeah.
And they looked like they were swinging the bats with different intent. It was not – they were not going up to the box and being guarded. It was very much like, all right, as soon as you see something, go.
Did you have anything more on Jose's home run planned?
His – what the –
In about last night. No. I want to give away what you're
– okay. No, go ahead.
I'm thankful so many people are listening because it's well. Daryl's going to join us today. Daryl's like, you touched the third rail. I go, I wasn't ripping on Jose Ramirez, guys. Like, I know the internet wants to be the internet. Like, I'm not ripping on Jose Ramirez. Like, it's but when you're 0 for 4 and we need you the most, like, we just need you. And overall, I want him to be better. I wanted him to have better postseason numbers. So we were just making sure he was a shoe-in for the rightful place of where he's supposed to go when his career is over. And then he hits the home run, and I'm looking
at well, you were getting a ton of I told you
my
so.
Mentions.
Well, we both like, were.
Well, again, how many people? Because we were littered with calls with people going, where's Jose? Where's Jose? Where's Jose? Where's Jose? So it's like, well, you can't just turn your blind eye on everything. Like, I can respectfully ask, where's Jose? It doesn't mean to trade him. Doesn't mean to cut him. You can't do that. But you get what I'm saying. It doesn't mean I don't like him. It means I can respectfully ask, where's Jose? Like, I could someday respectfully ask, where's Miles Garrett? By the way, did I also not do that at the beginning of the season with Joel Bitonio? I love Joel Bitonio. It wasn't such a great start to the season for Joel Bitonio, right? Right.
Yeah, I did not understand. I mean, we had one clip.
These are sensitive.
We had one clip that was out there basically saying, yeah, Jose needs to step up. And he stepped up. Yeah. And people were like, oh, don't you feel stupid now? It's like, how?
No, I don't.
How? This is exactly what we were all begging for.
I feel happy that our best player on our team.
And we love the guy. We love the guy. So we want him to have postseason moments.
I felt
it had
like
been
you.
8 years.
I felt like you yesterday because I'm sitting there going, okay, when people go, aren't you happy now? Lima's like, yeah, I'm happy that my favorite team won. Yeah, I'm happy.
Anyway, here is Vogt. Speaking of guys stepping up in a big way on both Jose and Manuel Clase.
They're our best two players. They have been all year. For Jose to get that homer, that had to feel so good for him, and it energized our dugout like you wouldn't believe. And Emmanuel, he had the blip the other day. And he's going to get way too much negative publicity for that because that was one blip on the radar of a historic season that he's put together. And tonight was another story of that.
Even the way they were talking about the announcing team was talking about Jose, body language. He misguided up another good pitch. And they're like, man, he is really struggling right now. You can see it. He's wearing it on his sleeve and his emotions. And then for him to come up and do that was freaking
well,
awesome.
He feels the pressure of what he is. We make such a big deal of him taking the discount. He's like, yeah, he's got to be like, yeah, I know that it sits on his shoulders. He's got to know that it sits on his shoulders. So that adds a little bit more pressure to him. Like, if we were in New York and we were talking Yankees, right? Like Aaron Judge, the pressure's still on him. But if Aaron Judge strikes out, all right, well, you still have Giancarlo Stanton before him. You still have Gleyber Torres at the top of the order. Like, you still have Juan Soto there. Like, you still have guys that can pick it up afterwards. For Jose, at times, now I think it's helped out recently with a couple of guys hitting, and certainly at the top of the order, Stephen Kwan is setting the table in a wonderful way. But it's not what you're seeing and hearing with other big names in Major League Baseball and other lineups. So I think that he feels more pressure here than maybe what some others feel in other places.
One final note. This is Stephen Kwan having a hell of a series. 3 for 5. He's making defensive plays, running everything down. Had this to say on the MLB account on X about the fans in Game 5.
It's exciting. Barely put into words. It's going to be a good one. I mean, I know they'll show up. I would tell them we need them there, but they're already going to pull up and make it real loud. Cleveland knows what to do.
It's going to be such a frenzy on Saturday. And, man, they need to get something pushed through early. They got to strike early.
Someone said game 2 sounded like a library until the 6th, and then Owen promptly cussed him out.
Yeah, I don't think that'll be a problem. It's just guys need an early breakthrough for, I think, the fans.
Boom.
Big Bad Scooble is not going to be Big Bad Scooble if they can somehow break through.
It's an 8 o'clock game now, yep. Not a 4:35.
Yeah, important to note. So
I don't like that.
The thing that sucks is
I don't want to wait all day.
It's an all day wait.
That sucks.
You got Ohio State and Oregon.
The one thing you were probably
it's the only thing I wanted
booking for months. Yeah.
Yeah, I was so excited because it was going to be both of them. It was going to be like a doubleheader, and now they're on at the exact
same
time.
It's on Peacock,
basically.
Right?
That's the NBC game.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The Ohio State game's on. Well, you can go back and watch it on Peacock if you want to. Unpaid testimonial.
On demand.
You get double commercials with that one, but still, because they leave the commercials in and then they run their own in. So, listen, you got to pay Ohio State somehow. Okay, you're going to pay the fiddler. All right, that's it for About Last Night. Fantastic as always. Real quick before we get going, Browns here, we'll get back to the Guardians at 7. Also, Todd Derry going to join us from the Guardians. Derry Brothers, Guardians cast coming up at 7:20. Guardians won last night. Mitch had a call off the air from a caller. What was the question they wanted to ask, Mitch?
The question was, which game would you rather go back and rewatch? Yesterday's Game 4 thriller in Detroit or the 2022 wild card game against the Rays, the Oscar Gonzalez walk-off game in 15?
All right, overall, in terms of in-game action, last night's game more entertaining. However, the anticipation, I got to go, it's a higher bar with this one. It meant more, but I'm still going to go with the Oscar Gonzalez one. The anticipation of waiting for something to happen, that he hit it with a walk-off, I got to go with the Oscar Gonzalez one. You got a choice over there?
I don't think about that game at all. Now, maybe it's probably because I was doing a college football game when it was going on, and we kept looking, and it was like, is anybody going to score?
Okay.
Is anybody going to score? I mean, that was a lot of baseball for not much action.
Then that's fish in a barrel. If you were doing a game at the time.
And it was a wild card.
That was when I got my back injection, like the first one. And so I was like sitting in my chair at my house. And it was watching. I'm like, man, no one's scoring here. And there was so much anticipation of what was to come. So, yeah, I got to see every single pitch and every single moment. So, yeah, that would have a difference there.
I feel like there was a lot of tension last night just coming off the fact that the last time we saw Class A and they went more than 3 outs with him, right, coming off the bench to go back out. It didn't go our way. I thought there was a lot of, like, you know, I hope this doesn't go south things.
Yeah, that's
true.
Keep
it as intense as that 2022 game was.
In-game action. I'll say
5-hour game, by the way. I'll
pass on those.
Yeah, okay. That's a,
well,
that's a fair enough
You know
thing.
My stance on that. Even in the playoffs, man, 5 hours.
That is a while.
I would like to see 3 games played tonight.
Right.
All right, coming up at 7:20, Todd Derry going to join us. We'll get back to the Gardos coming up at 7, by the way. Mary Kay joined us yesterday, and I was fit to be Todd. I had to press her a little bit on what they want to do, because it's starting to feel like 2021. Are you a football team that's trying to win football games, or are you just trying to figure out an answer to a quarterback that I think at least by the end of the year people knew in 2021, but there were still questions throughout most of the year? I think a lot of people have their mind made up right now about this quarterback. Nick Wilson apparently intends to agree with this whole setup here, and he puts it on Stefanski. Go ahead.
I'm so frustrated at this idea of blaming the decision, because it's just another way to blame Deshaun. Guys, they've screwed up building the new offense. I think we can probably wonder if Ken Dorsey was the wrong hire? I don't care if Kevin Stefanski was forced to fire AVP. If you hired the wrong OC, that's still on you. Like, it's like they say, well, Kevin doesn't have the decision to bench Deshaun by himself. Like, 80% of coaches don't if a quarterback's making $40 million a year. That's an organizational decision because it's an ass load of money. We keep acting like Kevin Stefanski is Oliver Twist asking, please, sir, can I have more power, please? He's not. He's a grown-ass man. He's an Ivy Leaguer. He's incredibly smart.
Like you.
And yes, I'm not... unlike me, because I'm successful. Kidding. That was totally meant as a joke.
Nick loves Deshaun Watson and hates Kevin Stefanski.
But I'm getting frustrated at this. Like, guys, yes, Deshaun sucked on Sunday. Yes, through 5 weeks, Deshaun has not been good enough. But we continue to go back to, well, you went to this new offense. There is no new offense. No, that's not true. There is a new offense. It ain't the one you were promised.
Well, I don't even know what we were promised. Nick is right about it being an organizational decision. That's not the issue, though. The issue is, does he have any say in the matter at all? That's the issue that people are having. That's the question that really can't be answered. And because it's not clear that he has any say whatsoever in who plays or Deshaun Watson playing, that is what's drawing the ire of the fans. Because I think in a lot of ways, like, yes, there has been, because they're 1-4, the vocal minority has started to raise their pitchforks again towards Kevin Stefanski, but they were gone for a good long time, except in certain pockets. Now, I think a lot of people are going, hey, if you had to ask a question to trust, far more people trust Kevin Stefanski than what they do the quarterback here. And when you are being told or you are wondering that the coach has no power whatsoever on who starts on Sunday at the most important position, that tends to lead a lot of people to think some really bad things about the team.
Yeah, obviously, I have a ton of respect for Stefanski. I have given him an F so far this year, and I've had people jump all over me about that, so it shows you the different factions. Yeah, I don't think he's been a good football coach this year. I also think he's coaching with maybe two hands tied behind his back because he's got a quarterback that can't even make the layups. We got a quarterback that even in a clean pocket, all we talk about is how bad the offensive line is. It is. Clean pocket, his numbers are the worst in the league. They're worse than Bryce Young.
Yeah.
So, you know, those numbers emerged over the last few days. We've talked about Kurt Warner and his analysis, or Brian Baldinger, his analysis. Basically, everybody who comes on says the film is not pretty, that there are open receivers, there are some good things in Stefanski offense, mm-hmm, even though mm-hmm. It's not really the normal Stefanski offense that he's been coaching his whole career when he's had success with just about everybody else but this quarterback. But at the same time, this offense is scheming guys open, is scheming on third down players if the ball can get out of the quarterback's hands on time, if he could get his footwork down on time. Those are all things that any other quarterback that would be like a veteran, you'd have more confidence in right now than you do Deshaun Watson.
I think you're absolutely right about that. 216-474-0092. You know, I think it turns into, who do you question? Who do you blame? Who do you trust? I think there's multiple folds to this. I think Deshaun, with the way he plays in the late third and fourth quarter, I think that's a product of the way things start to go in the first and second quarter. Running yourself into sacks, not trusting your offensive line, I think that plays into it. But the decision to go out and hire Ken Dorsey, it leads me to wonder, was it his decision? Was it his decision to let go of Alex Van Pelt? You have said that you've had people tell you it was not his decision to want to let go of Alex Van Pelt, that he, in fact, did not want to let go of Alex Van Pelt, Kevin Stefanski himself. So I have a two-time coach of the year that people seem to trust, except he doesn't seem to have any power. That's what people are scared of.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.